You know, you may have been to the library fairly recently. I have this slide. It goes. I have this slide here to show you one of the 40-foot-long bookcases that we house our books in. And there are 26 of those 40-feet bookcases. All of them are at least 9 feet high. Some of them are as much as 12 feet high. So you can see the number of books we have in our library. As far as numbers go, we have cataloged and registered and ready for people borrowing 7,000 books, 8,000 bound volumes of Philatelic Society newsletters, 512 stamp catalogs. All this is housed in a 900 square foot facility. We also have, I think it was 28 large file cabinets full of tear sheets. So you can see that the magnitude of this library is pretty big. Started from four people sitting around in a living room. Next slide, please. Oh, incidentally, that picture there shows the two remaining people who originated the library. Myself on the left and Roger Skinner on the right.
That's actually one of the 15 copies of Roger Skinner that we alternate for the library.
Okay, this is what I'm going to cover briefly. In 1969, we formed the Friends of the South Bay Philatelic Library. I'm going to get to how that happened. Later on, in 1971, the Philatelic Library was established in the Sunnyvale Public Library. 1972, the Friends of the Western Philatelic Library acquired the Philatelic Research Society, which was in Oakland. They acquired the entire library. Later on, in 1976, we acquired a huge library from a dentist named Don Dahlquist down in Texas. And at that time, the Dahlquist Library was second in size in the United States, only to the Corpus Club of New York. It was a huge library.
Did you say dentist?
Next slide.
Jim?
Don't forget it. That's Henry Bear. We frequently refer to him as Ornery Bear, because he was a very outspoken, very gruff German fellow. He mined of Philatelic information. He is so knowledgeable. He was an ex-stamp dealer, and he was the guiding light of the Sunnyvale Stamp Society. He made it go, but he was a gruff old rascal, although he had a fine sense of humor. Next slide, please. Okay. A fellow named Larry Spice and I and Roger Skinner used to go over at least once a week to Henry's house and sit in his front room and talk talk all about steps. And Henry could expound on just about any area of philately. Well, Henry, it was actually Henry's idea first. He thought that we should make literature available to all the area stamp collectors, and that we should form a library. Well, we had a few obstacles to overcome. Number one, Henry wanted the Sunnyvale Stamp Society to be, well, he wanted the library to be part of the Sunnyvale Stamp Society. Well, Larry Spice and I were not members of that society. We were members of another stamp club that had a small library. So we balked at having the library part of the Sunnyvale Stamp Society. So what we decided in 1969 was that we should have a separate organization. And we called it the South Bay Philatelic Library. And we formed that club, Friends of the South Bay Philatelic Library. I, not to brag, it was the first president. My number is, my membership number is 3. After a while, Henry, who was politically active, convinced the Sunnyvale City Council that the Friends of the South Bay Philatelic Library should store their books, make the library, in the Sunnyvale Public Library. And that happened. And this is a picture of me on the far right accepting a certificate from the president of the city council giving permission and blessing to our moving our books to the Sunnyvale Public Library. In the background there, on the on the white shirt on the far left, is Ben Burma. He was, I forgot to mention him, he was one of the other people that conceived of this library. Next to that is Frank Holly. He was the vice president at the time. And far right is Henry Bear. Next slide, please. We, of course, had to have a newsletter. At the time that we formed, there was a big brouhaha going on in San Mateo and San Francisco counties about extending the shoreline into the bay. By doing what? By filling in parts of the bay with land and waste. And so we decided we'd call our newsletter Bay Phil. Some of you are laughing.
We'll get to that later.
We first put that out every month, and it decreased bi-monthly. Next slide, please. Okay, this, I know it's kind of hard to read, so I'm just going to ad lib on this. The original concept of the library was threefold. One, a regular library. Two, we were going to put out pamphlets. Three, we were going to put out video programs, slides. We put out a few pamphlets, not many. We made one slide program, a very good slide program on counterfeits. Photography was done by one of our members, Robert Will, who was a professional photographer. It was a beautiful program. It was shown once, That was all. When that, when I turned the presidency over to Frank Holly, I gave him the slide program. I haven't seen or heard about it since. Who knows? Next slide, please. Okay, this shows how the library looked when it was part of the Sunnyvale Public Library. You can see there are quite a few books there. I don't remember, frankly, I don't remember where they came from. We shared the space in the public library with the patent library. Well, later on, the patent library got so big that they kicked us out to another building on the other side of town. That's another story. Anyhow, that's the way it looked when we first transferred the library to the Sunnyvale Public Library. We had members that would come and stay and be auxiliary, you might call it, librarians to help people find things in that library. Next slide, please. Hey, that's way out of sound. Sequence.
Want another slide?
That's the next one. Yeah, that's the very last slide.
Well, that's what I have.
That's the next to last slide.
That's right. Well, I've only got two slides left, Jim.
Okay. The first major acquisition of our library was the entire library of the Philatelic Research Society, which was based in Oakland. All of their periodicals, their books, the whole bit, their complete library, was stored in the basement of, oh my gosh.
APS president.
Yeah. What was his name?
Willard.
No. No. Anyhow, the APS. Thomas.
Fred Thomas.
Fred Thomas. It was stored in Fred Thomas's basement. Unused. Well, at one meeting of the Council of Northern California Philatelic Societies, Henry, in his gruff, undiplomatic manner, came out and said he addressed the people from the Oakland Society. He said, "You people aren't doing anything with that library. Give it to us. We want it." It's like that. Another person that was part of the Oakland group was Dr. Brash, very appropriately named. And he and Henry had a shouting match, name calling, references to their mother's marital status. Got in the shouting match. Brash said, "You'll get that library over my dead body." And Henry said, "Well, you aren't using it," which was true. It got so bad, the shouting match got so bad, the president of the council gaveled them to silence and said, "That's enough of this subject. We're going to proceed to other matters," which we did. Well, the next morning, I was sitting at my desk at work, and the phone rang. And it was Jack Hughes, who was still alive on the East Coast. Jack Hughes was an Oakland stamp dealer and a member of the Philatelic Research Society of Oakland. He was a wonderful person, just the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. He was on the phone, and he said, Jim, let's you and I get together and work out a deal, the ground rules for transferring our library to the South Bay Folk Health Library. So that's what we did. We got together, we went over their requirements, and there are quite a few, such as don't remove any booklets, don't sell any of the material we're giving you without our permission, et cetera, et cetera. There are probably a dozen provisions of their transferring their library to us. And they were all reasonable, and we complied with them. The next thing to do is to sell a deal to the membership of the Oakland group. We have with us tonight one member of the Oakland group, Dick Hall. And he and Maggie were at the conference in which we made our pitch to the membership of the Oakland group to get the library. It went fairly well. There's only one dissenting voice, Maggie Salt. Her point of view was this. Any organization that would call its newsletter that they fill is not serious enough to get our books. I'm not sure whether she was saying that tongue-in-cheek or if she meant it. But anyhow, everybody else at the meeting agreed for the transfer of the Philadelphia Research Society's library to the Friends of the West. By that time, we were the Western Philadelphia Library. The Western Philadelphia Library. And so, our library increased magnificently. The transfer of those books took 175 cartons. And we got a big truck and bring them over. And that's where we had our first of two major acquisitions. The second one was the acquisition of the Dahlquist Library. A dentist in Texas was a real bibliophile. He had the largest telephone library in the United States, except for the Kosher Club in New York. He went blind, poor fellow. And we got into it, and one of our members negotiated for Dahlquist to sell the whole library to us. The price was $30,000. Of course, we didn't have $30,000. However, we did have a member whose name was his brother, some close relative, was a bank official. So we made it, I didn't make a pitch. They made a pitch to him to give us a $20,000 loan. We could come up with him. Give us a $20,000 loan so we could buy the Dahlquist Library. It was approved, and we bought it. It was huge. The transfer of the Dahlquist Library to us was accomplished using 329 cartons, and it all weighed a little over 8 tons. So we got that library. And those were the two major acquisitions that resulted in what we have today. Now, of course, where you build up remarkably, based on these transfers I was talking about, you get donations all the time, as you know, if you need to pay Phil. And we're still growing, and we can't keep up with it. We've got probably 3,000 or 4,000 society newsletters, Wheat says, that need to be bound. Because they're in a letter asking for financial help. That's what it's for. Okay, now you know how the thing has happened, but I'd like to show you something interesting. Previous slide, please. This is a certificate from the American Philatelic Association, which later became the APS. It makes the Pacific Philatelic Society a branch of the American Philatelic Association. And along with that went a library. So notice the top signature at the bottom is John Tiffany, who will most of you recognize as one of the major people in philatelic history. Next slide, please. So this is the genesis of our library. Our library is at the large, I know you can't read it, the library is at the large block at the bottom, the current library. Let's start upper right. That large block there. That's the Pacific Research Society's library. It was, I don't know how large it was, but it was fairly large. It was stored in the Mechanics Museum, Mechanics Library, where we used to meet. In San Francisco. They were afraid that the Mechanics Library would crumble during an earthquake. So they moved it. They moved our Philatelic Library to the City Hall. Well, then in 1906, the building that was in crumbled, and a good part of the library was destroyed. It was patched up as much as it could be, and acquired a few extra things. And it was then given to the Philatelic Research Society, that's that Oakland group. They traced the box down. They eventually gave it to us. So one of our ancestors was the Philatelic Research Society. On the other side shows how the Dahlquist library came to us. And if anybody wants to see a copy, they can read why I have one there. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I would like to add that I can use